So with that, I would like to introduce a couple from St. Matthew's. It's one thing to have your home enthroned, and then it's another, it's a beginning. It's a beginning of living in a new way, of welcoming our Lord into your home as King of your home in a new way, in a dynamic way. And this couple that will be sharing their testimony is Jeff and Heather Bernard. Heather and Jeff are parishioners here, and they both grew up in Columbus and graduated from Bishop Watterson High School. They're married in 2001 and have 6 children. Jeff is the past Grand Knight of the St. Jude Council Knights of Columbus and currently the leader of the Immaculata in Columbus, Ohio. He is also Vice President, Heather is Vice President of the Ladies of, St. Jude. They teach confirmation, 7th and 8th grade. And as you've had a home enthronement, and many of you have had that, the renewal is also an opportunity. And they had their second renewal. And the first time, many of us have kind of a private enthronement. Well, you know, you can do it many ways. They decided at their second renewal to have 30 people present. And also, that's sometimes a way for others to really be invited by our Lord to say, I want to do this. I want this grace. So that's another way that it spreads. So they had a grand celebration. So we now welcome them and look forward to their sharing.
Good morning. My name is Heather, and I've been asked to share my experience with our home enthronement. Thank you. I'm going to make this very brief because public speaking terrifies me. So, as a wife and a mother of 5 going on 6 here very soon, I find that it's extremely important to have peace in my home. It's also important for me to show my children how we practice our faith. We all do what we can to help our children, but I felt that we needed to do more. We go to Mass every week. We observe all the holy days, and as you can imagine, with the Christmas season upon us, get a lot of flack from our children. You know, why are we always here? Weren't we just here? But they get through it. I knew that our children understood Jesus and that he was here, but how do we show them that he's with us outside of these walls? Okay. Now, I'm sure that we're not the first family to have crucifixes on our walls or a Last Supper in the dining room or even a picture of Mary in the house, but this is different. We were able to show our children that he's here with us in our home. Please let me preface this by saying, as I said, we have 5 children, okay? So as I look around here, I know that lots of you do know us. So we do have 2 children with autism who are very visual learners. So how do you help them? Well, how we got them to know that Jesus is in our home, how do we make him understand that he's everywhere? Well, we started in our home. When you walk into our home, you will find in the main living space above the fireplace a photo of the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We've shown our children that this is too where Jesus lives. He's here, dare I say, watching, always. Okay, we have a candle that burns just like at Mass, and this helps them put 2 and 2 together. Our children treat Jesus as a member of the family. They say good morning to him in the morning. They say good night, Jesus, at night. To them, they're able to visually see that Jesus and Mary are a part of our home and our lives, and they are a part of our family, and they are treated as such. When we first enthroned our home a few years ago, it was a beautiful experience. Our oldest, Joe, was able to participate in our daily rosary. Where the younger children just kind of sat in the room. We were lucky to keep them in the space. Almost immediately, our house felt different. It was calm. Calm's not exactly a word that I use to describe our home with five children running around, but it was. The children participated in the little things we did. For example, our now four-year-old loves to help his father exchange the candle that we have burning. He says it's his job. All of the kids, they love to pick flowers for Mary. And as a side perk, Jeff's always bringing home fresh flowers to the house, so that's kind of nice. In these small acts, it's the way that they can physically participate and be aware of everything that's being done in the home. We recently moved, and as painful as it was, we were asked to remove all religious icons from our home. The void was very much noticed by our family. The good news is we're now home in our new home, and as we were getting ready to re-enthrone our home and put everything back, the kid said, "Hey, he's back." Yeah. It was that's when we realized that they too felt the void that was in our home. We had our home enthronement just a few weeks ago, and already the peace is back in our home. It feels calm. Now, as a mother, I have to say that my children are understanding and share our love of Jesus and Mary. But I also find it helpful that when I'm struggling or feel conflicted, all I need to do is sit in my chair, pray, and ask for guidance and patience. I ask for a lot of patience. I'm constantly reminded that I, or rather we, are not alone. Just as Jesus is a part of our marriage, he's also a part of our parenting. I cannot express how beautiful it is to have that peace of mind and that knowledge that he is here always, especially when the world outside is so loud and crazy and sometimes out of control. It's nice to know that within our walls is a sanctuary, a place of peace, and there is love. I also hope that those who come to our home feel this same peace as well.
Hello, my name is Jeff. I'm her husband. I was always told growing up that if you wanted to change the world, you had to first change yourself. And this lesson was difficult enough for me, so it only took me about 35 years to figure that out. But it's a long road from the head to the heart. But lucky for me, I have a saintly wife, so I didn't end up in a ditch before I learned that lesson. Seriously, though, it's an important lesson. Holiness matters, and others do take notice when we decide to live a truly Christian life. I've met a lot of people who carry the label Christian who don't live it out. But man, I know some very powerful souls who carry the name and they mean it. These are people who can change the world largely because they change themselves first. They live with joy and their families share that joy. Those are kingdom people, right? Those are the ones who we want to be like. Those are the Christians we want to be. A person's actions don't often express who they are, but they do sometimes demonstrate where they are on the path to their destiny. This is a good measure for our experience together, especially in light of this particular devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Heather and I have a good history in the making. There's a lot that we can be that can be related, but we are, in short, a unit working towards a goal only known to the Heart of Jesus. We started this journey within the church. We made a lot of hard choices going through the great intercession of Our Lady and have made it here today by the grace of God. We are very lucky and fortunate people. We have a very unique situation in that we never fight. We almost always agree and we easily sacrifice for each other. Marriage, having children, and living a faithful life are all very difficult to do well. But for some reason, God has ordained that we walk gently with him in these things. Some things that we've endured look monumental from the outside, but to us, we remember the trials, but we often more see the results of God's grace. My message to you today is primarily for the men. It's for you sons and fathers, and especially those who are working to find harmony within the will of God. I hope my message will be a challenge to you. Brothers, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the center of the Christian life. It's the Eucharist, the heart which has loved so many men, and the heart which will never stop loving us. It's the heart of the Almighty, given to us in the flesh of Mary and pierced for us on Calvary. It's the heart of the man who changed all of history through his love for us, as proven through his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's the heart of Jesus, who desires only that we return love for him, who has so lavishly and generously adorned us with love. This heart is the center of the church and the center of the Christian reality. Every Christian is called to seek after the heart of Christ as we struggle to find salvation. This is the truth of our purpose as Christians, that we seek to love the heart of Jesus. The Christian life done well requires a radical trust in God, a radical trust that God will provide us with our daily bread when we cooperate with his grace. This doesn't mean that we sit around the house sick, praying that God heal us when a doctor could do the job. I mean, that's why God inspires people to go to medical school, right? So they can heal us when we need it. God doesn't send you the lucky lottery ticket either when you're out of cash and you need a car. That's not what I mean. God doesn't desire that you be rich or tall or good looking or even healthy in every case. He desires that you work to love him the way he loves you. He will provide for you to the extent that you provide yourself with prayer and a grace-filled life in the sacraments. It's really that simple, and it's really that difficult too. Living a life of grace is tough. Life has its moments that cause us to turn inward, and we want to console ourselves with an easy path. We indulge ourselves as a prize, and we do it too naturally to our detriment. These things cause us to sin, so a reorientation toward God is always required to find peace. We need the Sacred Heart to find our way to loving Jesus as we should. This might sound a surprise, but going to Mass on Sunday doesn't equate to reaching the goal. Going to confession where we feel guilty doesn't always mean that we're on the right path, although that's a good start. Praying before meals in bed doesn't make for a good prayer life. Knowing everything about the church, the catechism, and the history of Christianity doesn't make us holy persons. Knowledge isn't a relationship, it's only knowledge. Doing things, however helpful, can't make a relationship unless they're there for the purpose of building one. We may do a lot of things around the church and know everything there is to know about it, but that doesn't mean that we love the one who is behind the church. It doesn't mean that we truly love Jesus. We need to be introduced to loving Jesus through his Sacred Heart. I can love my wife Heather's mind and words, but it will never explain what I know about her. I can love her actions and her history, but it can never compare with her companionship. I can love the things she does for me, the way that she cares for our children, and the work she does to support us, but it can never help me explain why she does it and what the end of these actions will bring. What I mean to say is that we often spend time loving something that isn't the heart of Jesus. We love music at Mass. We love comfort and friends. We love the idea of this beautiful Christian story, but we may not love the one who makes all of these things possible. We might not love the heart of Jesus, only the idea of it. Gentlemen, I know there's a lot we're called to do, but we need to put God in the center of all of it. We need to work more on our hearts that they may be directed towards loving Jesus, the man, our Lord. He lives. He's alive. He's moving. He's working. He's loving our world into being. Living a holy life absolutely means that we're working to know Jesus, the one who is saving us from our sins. This should be a very personal issue and not one we take lightly. It should mean that we believe what the church believes, work as the church works, and love as the church loves. This is only possible by coming to know the heart of Jesus, the heart which demonstrates the faith, hope, and charity that we seek to demonstrate in our own lives. Men, we are deeply challenged in holiness. We are challenged in married life and fatherhood. We are challenged to catechize our children who are thirsty for truth. They're starving for a tangible essence of God working in this world. Heather and I have enjoyed teaching PSR to 7th and 8th graders, preparing for confirmation, And it's interesting to note that we can risk spending too much time talking about church and not enough time talking about Jesus. He is the entire purpose for our being, yet we sometimes talk about him like he's a dead relative. He lives, he's with us, he loves us. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus prompts us to introduce our children, our family, and our community to this man. This man, Jesus, who shared in our humanity, suffered and died for us. Most importantly, was raised from the dead, and he now reigns as King of Kings. In medieval days, knights who served the king would try to outdo each other to prove their loyalty to that king. They didn't always do it for the value in return, as honor and friendship of the king was often enough to satisfy them. They would give their hard-earned gold, their lands, and even their children in marriage. They would give their time, their effort, and even go so far as to carry the king's standard so that all would know to whom their loyalty and loving devotion belonged. They would give their possessions, knowing that the king would protect them always. They would give their very lives in service to this man who promises that protection. Men, when we were confirmed, we were given title soldiers of Christ. We were mere men risen to the honor of serving our king in an official manner. We confirmed our vows to live the laws of the kingdom, that we vowed to know him, love him, and serve him in this world in order to be happy with him forever in heaven. We are given everything through this vow, but still many reject it as if it were a promise made to a man of politics or fantasy. An earthly king may fail, but our king will never fail. Our king broke death and made a future possible for us that was formerly considered impossible. Our times are quickly revealing to all that we are at war to preserve goodness and holiness in our world. We've been in battle since the beginning, but somehow today is different. Many of us here realize it and are rising to the challenge, but many outside are still asleep. Some of them are sleeping giants, however, and only need a nudge to awaken the power of the Holy Spirit within them. This is why we need to bring Jesus closer to our homes, closer to our children, closer to our marriages. We need to bring him into our work, our diversion, and even our rest. We need to give him everything so that he might protect and guide our works to success. Our friends will see him in our homes, they'll witness him in our actions, and they will find him in our words. For our family, enthroning the Sacred Heart was a defining moment. It was an effort to break the cycle around us and a formal way to remove those things that were not of God in our lives. We had witnessed for years that many around us experienced failed marriages and children who left the truth of the church. We saw friends who lost their faith and who lost the courage to defend life, even in their marriages. We didn't want that for our family, and we decided that concrete action had to be made. Our decision was to turn to the Sacred Heart of Jesus as we prepared to enthrone him in our home. Gentlemen, enthroning the Sacred Heart of Jesus requires a great level of humility. It requires us to release control to Jesus. Letting go is not the pleasant experience of joyful renunciation as we see in the images of great saints. I remember seeing a painting of St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of my favorites, and he's pushing away his gold and his appreciation of the arts and his titles and his military honors, all of it. He pushed it all away as if it were poison in his food. He pushed it away as if it were mere garbage and unworthy of consideration in comparison with his relationship with God. But we have the same problem, you know. We don't always consciously do it, but we compare everything in this world with the value we put on our love of God. And ultimately, we pare down these questions to only one. And it's the only question, and it's the same question that we should start and end each day. Do I do what he wants? And it's an impossible task, but it is totally possible when we surrender and let God do the work. Look at what he was able to do through Mary. All through a humble heart and a simple yes. I started this little speech with a reflection that I'd like to repeat. A person's actions don't often express who they are, but they sometimes demonstrate that they are on the path to their destiny. When you adopt the devotion to the Sacred Heart and enthrone your home with the heart of Jesus, what are you expressing about your friends and family? What are you expressing about yourself? And furthermore, what does this say about where you are on the path to your destiny? Since we're at war and the enemy wants nothing less than our destruction, we need first to guard the places that seem most secure. First, our hearts, because most of the troubles come from that one safe place. We overlook ourselves and often start outward when it comes to purity and conversion. It won't be long before the Lord comes looking for you to do the work yourself. It might happen through a book, a retreat, a chance encounter, but we all need to come clean. We need to confess all of our sins and sweep out that bad stuff. We need to see clearly. We need to sweep the house clean. We need to establish the boundaries. We need to invite God into that place. We then, after being humbled and renewed, should run to the Lord in the Eucharist so we can be filled with God we desire and the power of the Holy Spirit, which we'll need to carry on. We become another Mary, carrying the Christ within us out into the rest of the world. If you don't think you're able to be effective, think again what God did through Our Lady, a teenage girl who had almost nothing but her faith. She will intercede, and she will call upon her Son to heal and strengthen and guard your heart. You'll be made ready if you simply give your yes. Once that our hearts are secured, then turn to our families. We need to create the perimeter, establish the boundaries, invite God into those places, our homes. We don't just invite him in, but we give him the place to call his own dwelling. We consecrate it. We put it aside for a holy purpose. It will become his dwelling to act out his holy will. This is what I wish for all of you, that you might find peace in your homes and holiness in your families. I pray that Our Lady and Saint Joseph work to share their holy family in your homes. I pray that your home become a place where Jesus can live, work, and share his love and mighty protection. Thank you, and God bless you for your love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.